Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
If you're new tonight, we're in a series on hearing the voice of God, and it's really been, I think it's an essential part of spiritual development for a believer to learn to hear God's voice, that God speaks to us. And we err if we only think in terms of, well, if God's going to speak, it's going to be in an audible voice, though I think that's possible, and some have heard that. And we began by just simply showing how God speaks in a variety of ways. And as we grow in Christ, what we want to do is learn to understand or to discern God's speaking to us in our life. He can speak audibly. He generally speaks. Probably the most prevalent way he speaks is through his word. So when you read the Bible, God is speaking to you. That's a great opportunity for God to talk to you, for God to quicken the scripture to your heart, and all of a sudden you realize God is talking to you. Or God can speak in a whisper. We talked about leaning in and hearing this still small voice. God can speak through pain, through painful circumstances and situations. The psalmist said, it was good for me to be afflicted that I might learn your decrees. There's things that God speaks to us and teaches us through pain. Last time we saw that God speaks through other people, that he sends other people into our life who speak to us and talk to us. And he is speaking through them to us. And tonight, we're going to look at how God speaks through what I would call prompting. How God speaks, how God prompts us, which I would suggest to you is maybe a very, very frequent way outside of the Word of God. Maybe the way God speaks as much as any other way in the life of the believer. So when we're talking about prompting, what are we talking about? The dictionary defines it this way: to cause someone to say or do something. So when you're prompting someone, you're causing them to say or to do something. And then the dictionary gives these examples. Kids of that age shouldn't really need prompting to say thank you for things. You ever seen a parent prompt their children, like, what do you say? You know, that's prompting. Or, you know, if the kids are a little older, then the parent is looking at them like out of the corner of their eye, like, you know, they're trying to just, without saying it, without being obvious, just kind of pushing it forward. Or, amazingly, without any prompting, my husband actually said how nice I looked in my new dress. Oh, guys, if she has to prompt you, you miss the big opportunity, right? You don't want your wife to prompt you to tell her how nice she looks. But God prompts us. God, at times, puts things in our heart. It's not that he spoke it to us, it's that he prompted us. So we're going to give you a couple of scriptures. Nehemiah chapter 7, a scripture I've thought a lot about the last month. Nehemiah chapter 7 and verse 5. Then my God put it into my heart to assemble the nobles and the officials and the people to be enrolled by genealogy. So here's Nehemiah, and if you're familiar with this story in the Old Testament, God calls him to go to Jerusalem, to go back to his homeland, to his people, and to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Walls that had been broken down for over 100 years. Walls that had continually been in disrepair. And God miraculously works through his prayers and his leadership to bring about a miracle so that in 52 days, something that hadn't been done for over 100 years is accomplished. It's really one of the amazing things in Scripture that happened. So now, the city has walls, but no one's living in it. So it happened so quickly, it wasn't like people were moving back and saying, oh, they're rebuilding the city. I want to get a good piece of real estate in there. So the city's empty, And Nehemiah realizes now he's got a city with walls that's empty, and he's going to need to fill it up. And there's going to need to be some thought given to how he does that, to make sure that it's Jewish people in the land, because there's a lot of foreigners in the land, and if they fill up the city, then the Jews are never going to be able to reclaim the land. So God prompts Nehemiah. Now look at it, because you can see it in two different versions. Then my God put it into my heart to assemble the nobles and officials. Now give me the next, the NLT. So God gave me the idea to call together all the nobles and leaders. It was a God idea. And so one of the ways that God speaks to us is by prompting us. And when God prompts us, one of the ways that happens is he puts an idea in your heart. There's something that comes to your mind. And a God idea is 1,000 times better than a good idea. You know, so that's why we want to be in the presence of the Lord. We want to allow God to prompt us, because there's some of you here tonight, and there are things that would bring blessing to people around you if you would do them. And if God prompts you, if you get a God idea, it can make all the difference in the world. A God idea is way better than a good idea. There's, in some areas of your life, things that God wants to do. He wants to give you an idea of how to move forward. Usually, you get those God ideas in prayer, by spending time in prayer, or by really seeking the Lord, being passionate about the Lord. And then out of that, God prompts you, and always, almost always, it would take courage and faith to follow that prompting. So God cares about where we go, how we live, who we talk to. He wants to work in big decisions. He wants to work in little decisions in our life, and he wants to use us to move forward, not only his purpose in our own life, but he wants to use us to be his hand extended to people around us, right? So God might prompt you to encourage somebody. God might prompt you to pray for somebody. God might prompt you to write a note for somebody. God might prompt you to buy a meal for somebody. God might prompt you to bake a pie for somebody. God might prompt you to give that somebody needs something, or a family needs something. I know when Debbie and I, when we were pastoring in Colby, Kansas, and we had three kids, and they were, you know, 15 months apart, and there was a time we had all three in diapers, God prompted people to put diapers in our car. It was a very nice prompting from the Lord. I'll tell you. You know, so God can prompt you to do things. Or he can put ideas in your heart. I can remember when we've got this ramp out on 65 Highway, which is just such an amazing thing. Because when we moved the church out here, it became obvious, you know, the traffic and trying to get everybody off the parking lot, that if we could get a ramp right onto the highway, it'd be awesome. So we went to MoDOT and said, hey, could we get a ramp like right out of our parking lot that just goes right out on the highway? And they were like, yeah, you and 1,000 other people would love that, you know, in terms of other businesses, other companies. And they're like, we don't do that. And so we're like, well, you know, so we kind of, you know, my nature is no just means ask again in another way, you know. So we came back and we said, well, you know, we've looked around and there is a ramp in St. Louis where to a state highway out of property you did that. Well, they researched it, came back, and they said, that is true. And that was how that happened. We don't know. That was before us. But it's the only one in the state. I'm sure they were like, how in the world did they find that? But it will be the only one in the state. So then we said, well, what if we, you know, so again, you got to ask again. And so we went back a third time, and this happened in about the span of 2 years. So I go back a third time, and we say, well, what if we kind of worked with that interchange and did some things there? And they're like, you know, we don't understand what you don't. They said this exactly. And they're nice about it, but they're like, we don't really know what you don't understand about the word no, but no means no. And so don't ask again, you know? So at that point, you're like, okay, I'm not done yet, but I'm done for the time being. You know, you're just kind of thinking, huh? Because it kept coming in my heart. It wasn't, it was something that was just in my heart. I just couldn't let go of it. And when there's a God prompting, you can't let go of it. It keeps coming back to you. You can't get away from it. It just keeps kind of popping back up. So I'm praying in my office here at the church, and I can show you the exact spot when there was a prompting in my heart. There was a God idea. And the God idea was this: don't go yourself. Send two people, and the two people, their name, just right there, just popped in my mind. I shouldn't go myself. I should send these two people. And it was just, to me, it appeared very random. Send these two people, have them go and ask to have a ramp there. So I told him, I said, now listen, I'm going to ask you to do something. Would you mind going and you ask? And, you know, here's kind of what's happened so far. The answer's always been no. But I really feel like God wants us to ask again. And, you know, there you have the ramp. And not only do you have the ramp, but, you know, because when they asked, they were like, well, what do you have in mind? And then next thing, it led to drawings. And then the next thing is like, well, you know, you'd have to construct it according to our standards, and it'd have to be an approved contractor. And we get that. We'll do that. And then the contractor was so gracious and said, you know, you do a lot for the community, and we're believers, and we appreciate what you do, and we've had a really great year, and so we just like, you know, to contribute to that by doing that. So, like that ramp. I mean, that's like an amazing thing, isn't it? So all of that to say, it comes from a prompting. Did I hear God speak to me? I didn't hear God speak, but he just put it in my heart. I just instantly knew, and I felt like that's from the Lord. That's a prompting. So in Haggai chapter 1 and verse 14, you have another example of it. So the Lord sparked the enthusiasm of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel is the governor of Judea. And the temple's in disrepair, hasn't been built. This is before the time of Nehemiah. And the enthusiasm of Yeshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the enthusiasm of the whole remnant of God's people, and they began to work on the house of their God, the Lord of heaven's armies. So what happens, one of the ways you can tell if God is prompting you is you have an enthusiasm in your heart. You're excited about something. Ever just had something happen where all of a sudden you're excited about it and you're like, I'm excited about doing this. And maybe you weren't ever excited before, but all of a sudden there's something and usually it's kingdom things, but it could be anything you've been praying about. And all of a sudden you have an excitement, you have a passion for it. Here's this: the Lord sparked an enthusiasm in Zerubbabel's heart, in Yeshua's heart, the high priest, and in the heart of all of the people. The word enthusiasm comes from the Greek word in theos, God in it. So when I find, one of the ways I understand a prompting of the Lord is when I become very enthusiastic about something. So if I'm considering something, as I'm trying to discern the will of the Lord, is God leading in this way? Which leading and speaking and prompting and all those things, it's God, I want to be where you're at, right? I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to do what he wants to do, because what he wants to do is always better than what I want to do, right? So I don't want to waste my time trying to do things he doesn't want to do. What a waste of time. So much of the Christian life and much of our prayer time is spent just sensing what it is the Lord is saying to us, what it is the Lord is doing, and trying to develop that sensitivity that has a sense of what God is doing. So when I have that enthusiasm in my heart, I have that spark, then it causes me to know God is in it. All of a sudden, I feel like, wow, I just have a burden for it, some people would say. I have a heart for it, some people would say. I just get excited about it, some people would say. You know, people ask me, because when I came to James River, you know, we're trying to discern the will of the Lord, and we came down there, and people were like, why in the world would you ever go to Springfield? I don't even get that. Do you have like a big burden for the people? And at the time, I said, no, I really don't. And they said, well, why would you go? I said, all I can say is when I think about going, it makes my heart happy. It makes my heart happy. Even though it's one of three places I said I never wanted to pastor. All of a sudden, my heart was happy about pastoring. Isn't that crazy how the Lord, so all of a sudden, if it's not something you ever wanted to do, in fact, it's something you said, I will never do, but now all of a sudden, your heart is happy about doing it, then maybe the Lord is prompting you. Do you see what I'm saying? The goal of this message is less, and in the whole series, is less than giving you 10 principles you write down than it is helping you, because some things are more felt than telt. They're more caught than taught. There's a sense. I'm trying to help you because when it comes to walking with the Lord, there is a sensitivity. There is a feeling to hearing and understanding and processing the Lord's work in your life. So when it comes to prompting, that's what we're talking about. Let me give you some cautions on prompting. First of all, they're not infallible. So you may be very excited about something that's not even at all the Lord's will. You're just excited about, you know, getting season tickets to the Chiefs because you like the Chiefs and because they're winning. God's not even in it, I'm telling you. I can tell you that, but you're thinking your excitement has got... Hey, you're 2-0, you're good. But you know what I'm saying? So sometimes it could be an excitement, but it's a worldly excitement. So you know, don't go home and tell your wife, you know, I think it's God's will we buy this bass boat because I am more excited than I've ever been in my whole life. And yesterday, you know what I'm saying? So it's not, you know, it's not infallible. So you could be excited about something. But what you have to do is you have to hold things loosely. Well, I tell people all the time, the first rule in spiritual living when it comes to hearing from the Lord is you may be wrong. And so you've got to live it. In fact, I would say the art of maturity is learning to sense the Lord. So you look on the time, some people, they don't want to step out because they don't want to be wrong. And I'm saying, you're never going to learn. You're never going to grow. So you got to step out. You got to see at times, not in an unwise, not in an ungodly, not in an unspiritual way, not in a selfish way or an unbiblical way. I'm not talking about doing that. But I'm saying there's times you might sense it's the Lord only to find out, well, maybe it wasn't. Or maybe it was the Lord leading you in a way and you just didn't see it at the time. But you want to journal it. You want to write it down. You want to process it. Don't do spiritual life alone. Have people that you talk with. Number two, a prompting doesn't mean that what you're prompted about is something that is going to immediately happen. They're not always immediate. So God can put things in your heart. He can prompt things in your heart that are not for the near future. So, you know, I mean, I'll use this as an example. So like in 1993, I go to the Southern Missouri District, which is the Assemblies of God, and we're under them, so I'm accountable to them. I think everybody should be accountable. I think that's important. So I go to them and I say, hey, I've got an idea. And I felt it was a God idea. I'd like to do a parameter church. This is 1993. They said, what's a parameter church? I said, well, essentially what it is it's James River, north, south, east, and west. They're like, that's not happening. You know, the polity of the church wasn't set up that way. And some of you are like, well, I just don't think, how can they tell you? Listen, they're over me and the Lord. That's their job. So if you only submit to people when you agree with them, you really aren't submitting at all. So a lot of people want to submit to spiritual authority if they agree with it, but then when they don't agree with it, then they're like, I'm out on that. But so they said no. So in 1995, when we were at where the Evangelical Free Church is, and we had built that building, and now it's full, and the county's telling us you cannot expand at that location, so we know that we'd have to relocate. And I'm thinking, rather than, you know, try to build bigger, let's just take half of the people and move them to another location. So I go to the district superintendent, and I meet with him, and we're at Olive Garden. I can remember it like it was yesterday. We're sitting there at Olive Garden having lunch, and I ask him, first of all, hey, you know what? The James River Expressway is eventually going to go out FF or, you know, 160 and Highway 60. And at that point, it's just dirt. All they have is they've cleared away the trees and they've got dirt. I said, that intersection is going to be a great intersection. And has the district thought about maybe buying the land out there so there can be a church that's prominently located? And they're like, you know, we don't really do that. We don't have the money to invest in property, so we don't do that. And I knew the answer to that, but I just wanted to check that box. So I said, well, I understand that. Would you let us do that? He's like, well, what do you mean? What would you do? And I said, well, we just split the congregation in half and take half the people and put them over there. And he said, well, who's going to lead them? I said, well, I was thinking I'd probably lead them, that I'll take half the people and go over there and leave half here. And who would you lead? So we talked about that. And he said, well, Brother Linda, let me think about that. Let me pray about that. And so I thought, hey, groovy, right on. I've prayed. You pray. We'll all be on the same page. Isn't that awesome? So he comes back 2 weeks later and he says, you know, I've prayed about it and I don't think that's God's will. He said, in praying about it, I think it's God's will. He said, it's God's will for you to build a mega church. And I was first of all shocked, then terribly disappointed. My first response to him was, a mega church? I said, do you know how much money that would take? And he was like, you know, my experience is that when a person is following in the steps of the Lord, money's not the issue. And he said, I just feel like that's what God's will is for you. And I was really disappointed, honestly. But now think about this. 23 years after we had the idea of God putting it in my heart, a perimeter church, what do we have? We have James River South. We have James River West. We have James River North. And it hasn't been like I've tried. I started this 23 years ago. I wanted to do this. It's just like it's happened. Really, honestly, I would just have to say it's just like it happened. I mean, in fact, we really didn't think initially we were going to go north. We thought we were going to go another place. And we wound up kind of through a turn of events, very interesting, with the North Campus, and God has blessed it. And then when it comes to you know, the idea of the West Campus and that land, 14 years after that conversation, we opened the West Campus. All of that to say, God may show things to you, put things, prompt you on things that he just wants you to pray about. He's putting them in your heart, but it's for a ways away. It could be 14 years. It could be 23 years. It could be 30 years. It could be 40 years. Are you okay with that? Well, then as well, they're not information downloads. So, you know, sometimes people want, when God prompts, well, I just want to know. Well, of course you do, but he's not going to tell you, okay? Well, I just want to know how that's going to work. Well, I just want to know this. I just want to know. Listen, if you have to know everything, then forget walking by faith. And this is a faith walk. Hearing from God is, and what happens is, if God gives us all the information, probably scare us half to death. And we wouldn't have the courage. I mean, it's a whole lot easier to walk by faith. I found through the years it's easier to walk by faith if I know a little less. Because if I had known some of the things ahead of time, I might not have had the courage to do them. And so God kept things from me that I didn't need to know. And he also kept things from me that I would lean on him in dependence to trust him. So you know what? He's not going to give us everything that we would ever want to know. He's not going to give you a lot of detail. Why? Because it's a prompting, not an information download, okay? Now, what I asked some of the staff, and I'd love to have asked all the staff, but I just was going to compile. So I just randomly picked some people and said, I'm going to ask you this question and give me three answers. How do you know if God is prompting you? It was really interesting. I loved, because some of them I was like, oh yeah, I get that. That's what I would have said. Others I was like, wow, that's really cool, because then some of the things I hadn't thought of, here they are. So not comprehensive list, but I've kind of combined a few. I know God's prompting me when I'm in God's presence and out of the blue a thought comes to me and continues. By that, it means you can't get away from it. You know, you're praying, you're in the presence of the Lord, thought comes to you, and like, you just can't get it off your mind. It's just there. Number two, I know I have a prompting. When I have a prompting or a thought that clearly falls into line with God's word, to encourage someone, reach out to someone, buy a meal for someone. So, for example, you're praying, and this person comes, you know, you should call them. You should text them. They're discouraged. Hey, you know what? That's a problem. Let's encourage one another. You know, there's somebody, man, take them a meal. That's a good prompting. You don't have to sit there and say, no, God, is that really your will? Is that really you speaking to me? Listen, you know what? If it's in keeping with the word of God, go for it. Number three, when I receive a specific direction from the Lord about something I wasn't even thinking about. So like all of a sudden, it just like comes to your mind. So when it came to like the ramp, I can remember that time. I wasn't thinking about the ramp. All of a sudden, it was like, boom, there was a prompting from the Lord. I wasn't even thinking about it, but it was there. Just like, where did that come from? Number four, when I'm reading scripture and a verse jumps off the page and I can't get it off my mind, even if I read the verse many times before. You ever had that happen where it happens? And I've had that happen so many times where I was reading the Bible and all of a sudden a verse just like lights up and I know instantly, and I'm like, boy, Lord, what are you saying to me on this? Because I know you're prompting me with this. I know your spirit has set his hand on my heart and on this verse and has said, get a hold of that, because this is for you. This is God's word for you. We're going to have the musicians come. Number five, when a thought or feeling pops into my mind and it sticks and I can't shake it, talk to that person, pray for that person, do something specific. Number six, when the prompting keeps coming to my heart and mind and what I'm being prompted to do makes me uncomfortable. You know, like, you know, that, like, go share Christ with your neighbor. That's the Lord. Oh, I need to pray about that a little more. Well, you know what? When it makes you uncomfortable, when you're like, oh, should I? Or like, you see a person and have you ever like seen a person you didn't know them and you felt like you should go pray for them? Prayer is such a game changer. And God prompts you, I want you to go and pray for that person. And you do that, or I want you to go talk to that person. I want you to help that person. That's a prompting from the Lord. Number seven, when a prompting is confirmed by my spouse or through random conversations from people in my close circle. So like, I'm thinking about something that either I feel like God is wanting me to do or somebody God is wanting me to go to, and all of a sudden Debbie says, you know what, I've been thinking about so-and-so, or you know, I can't get so-and-so off my mind. Then you're like, wow. Because you know instantly when another person, you know, is confirming that, that's a prompting from the Lord. When the prompting is brought to my mind, one staff member said, three times. I thought that was really interesting. Three times. You know, I thought there's some truth to that. You can't get away from it. It'd be another way of saying it. But if you think in terms of three, that's another way to look at it. When the prompting comes with a sense of urgency or some other strong emotion like sadness, a burden, or enthusiasm. So you get this prompting and you just, you feel burdened for somebody. Ever had somebody that like you haven't seen in a long, long time, or maybe you have and you know they're on a trip, or maybe they're not even on a trip, but all of a sudden you are just so burdened for somebody. And somebody tells you, I've been really burdened. So like when I had the illness back in May, I had a couple people who told me without knowing about my condition, I have not been able to get you off my mind. I have been so burdened for you and I've been praying for you. Are you okay? What's happening? And they weren't from the church here. And that was a prompting from the Lord. Number 10, when the prompting comes while I'm praying and I feel the need to write it down, you know, I would tell you when you're with the Lord and you're spending time with the Lord, keep a pen and paper handy. The problem with a phone is this. I think the phone can take you to your email or to the text or to the score or to, you know, I mean, you know, the things that can just sidetrack you on your phone. Paper and pencil, you know, is a little safer for me at least. I don't like to have my phone with me in my prayer time. I prefer to just have paper and pencil so that it eliminates that distraction. Number 11, when it's the first thing I think of when I wake up. One of the staff said that, and I thought, that is so true, because there have been times, it's not often, but every now and then, the first thought when I wake up is something that's just like what? And my experience has been almost always that's a prompting from the Lord. First thing in my mind, boom. I'm like, oh my goodness. So when it comes up in different unrelated conversations, could be a prompting. Next, when you have repeated interaction with the person you've been prompted about. So like, let's say maybe you haven't ever seen him for a long time, but now all of a sudden they're on your heart and you're like, I think there's a battle going on there. I think there's something up there. I think maybe there's a struggle there. But they seem all sunny and happy, but you see him like several times and you know, are you okay? Are you doing all right? And that prompting from the Lord is a discernment that he's given you. When an overwhelming peace follows obedience to the prompting. So like you stepped out and you did it, and after you did it, you were like, you just felt the pleasure of heaven and you felt the peace of God because you knew you were obedient. And what that teaches you is how that all started back on the front end. You go back in your mind, you think, okay, I knew God was in that. I knew. And so you learn to hear the voice of God. Is he prompting you? Sure he is. Then the Lord my God put it into my heart too. You know what, as I've been thinking about that, not only in my own life, but thinking about it in yours, that's my prayer for you. That God will put it into your heart too. That God gave me the idea too. God wants to do that. It's one of the ways God speaks. He puts it in our heart. He gives us the idea.